Man, these are certainly challenging times, but God is so faithful, and we just praise the Lord today. I want to say how much we appreciate such a big group that came for the outreach yesterday. 20-some people were here to help us with the outreach, and something like 60 of these lunches were taken out into the community, different places, and praise God for every seed sown in the lives of people, so many needy people in our world. And just thank the Lord for such a great group and so many young people here. And we praise God for all the young people that came to help us with the outreach yesterday. We're going to read in the book of Ephesians today, the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 14 if you would like to follow along with us. The book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after ye believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, if you think that's a lot of words, that's a lot of words. But verses 3 through 14 in the original Greek, where it's all one sentence, it is the longest sentence in the New Testament. It's as if Paul is so excited, and we have to remember that this is a prison epistle. He's writing from prison. He's writing to the Ephesian Christians. He's like their spiritual father. He had birthed the church in Ephesus, and the Lord used him to raise up. He spent 3 years. He invested 3 years in the Christians and the church at Ephesus. And even though it was so controlled by idolatry and the big temple to the goddess of Diana, and that was pretty much the central thing in the city of Ephesus, Paul went in and he turned everything upside down in the city. Now, that's what the gospel has the power to do. The gospel can turn things completely upside down in a community and in the lives of people. Gospel can change your life. And Paul preached the gospel. It so disturbed the city that there was a guy there by the name, you can read about this in Acts chapter 19, by the name of Demetrius. He made his living by making little silver idols that looked like the temple of the goddess Diana. He made those, and because Paul's preaching, so many were being converted and changed, and their lives completely turned upside down, that it messed up their business. And so as a result, Paul gets literally run out of town after 3 years investing in those Christians there at Ephesus. Now, some years later, from prison in Rome, he's writing a letter back to them, and you would think that a prison letter would be kind of sad and, you know, depressing because of him sitting in a dark prison cell, but no, not at all. As a matter of fact, he is so excited about the blessing of the Lord that he's telling them about this, that he can't stop. It's all this big, long sentence. He just keeps saying, it's really kind of like Zach, our son. That if Zach gets really excited about something, he comes in, and I mean, it is like drinking water out of a fire hydrant. I'm telling you, he is just going at it, and you have to say, hold it, Zach, stop, stop. And actually, his Facebook posts are just like that. No periods, no punctuation, just big, long statements that he makes, big, long sentences. That's kind of what these verses are, 3 through 14, in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is so excited about the blessing of God, our spiritual blessings. And he's writing to these Christians to encourage them and tell them, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Now, folks, we live in a really desperate world right now. There's so much darkness, so much desperation. We see it every week. We see all kinds. I have encounters with people from time to time. People are so desperate, and their lives are so messed up. I understand some of the trouble is of their own doing. I understand that. They've made bad decisions. Their, you know, homes are broken up, families are broken up, and it's leaving people in a place of real desperation and loneliness. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. The Lord Jesus Christ can take you right where you are with all of your trouble and all of the things that are messed up in your life, and he can make some sense of it. And not only that, not only can he change your life, not only can he transform your situation, but he can plant you in the house of God, in the family of God. A lot of people deal with loneliness and deal with hopelessness, but it doesn't have to be that way. In this, in these verses, 3 through 14, he uses the word us over and over and over again. Us. Because he's talking about the family of God, and the blessing that we have as the people of God and the family of God. Remember that Timothy, Paul told Timothy, now the relationships in the house of God should be like this. The older men you treat like your fathers. The younger men, you treat them like your brothers. And the older women like your mothers. And the younger women like your sisters. That's the kind of relationship that there should be in the house of the Lord. Last year when my mother passed away, I went to Sister Faye, and because she's just a few months older than my mother. And I said, Faye, my mom's gone now. You're going to have to step up and be my mom now. You're going to have to be my mother. And she reluctantly agreed to be my mother. But that's really the way it is in the household of faith, isn't it? We're just like a family. And we are a family. And that's the plan of God and the purpose of God for us. And so Paul the Apostle from prison writes to them and tells them about all of our spiritual blessings. Actually, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, you can divide the book of the six chapters into two different parts. Chapters 1 through 3 are all the things that God has done for us. And then 4, 5, and 6, those chapters are all the things that we do to respond to that, all the things that we are to do to respond back to the goodness of the Lord. But notice all the places where he says, he calls, uses the word us. He has chosen us, or actually in verse 3, he has blessed us. In verse 4, he has chosen us. And then in verse 5, he has predestinated us. In verse 6, he has made us. In verse 8, he has abounded toward us. And in verse 9, he has made known unto us the mystery of his will. And so he's talking to the family of God, us, you and me. We are the family of God. Of course, he was writing to the church at Ephesus, but it's a message very clear to every one of us that God has blessed us with so many spiritual blessings. Amen. Now, today, we are really a blessed people, aren't we? I don't know about you, but I get really, really upset when I see these people burning American flags. It just aggravates the life out of me. And that they would do such a thing. I invite them to go and live for a few months in Afghanistan or Yemen or Syria or South Sudan or Somalia, where women are treated like animals, where there's so much violence that people's lives by the thousands are taken all the time for no reason at all. It's just a violent place. And I understand there's violence in the United States of America, but when they burn the American flag, it just makes me think they don't really understand how blessed they are. They don't know how blessed they are. We are blessed. Now, we're blessed physically to live in America, but that doesn't compare at all to our spiritual blessings. Not at all to all of our spiritual blessings. We are so blessed of the Lord. We are so blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because you're a child of God, because you have been born again. You're the recipient of all these wonderful blessings, and we need to understand that and be grateful for the way that God has blessed our lives. Not only are we blessed, but we're chosen. We are chosen. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been chosen. I know there's a lot of debate about election and predestination, and we can have all these theological debates about it, but here's just the bottom line is this. If you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, you are a chosen one. Amen. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you are chosen of the Lord. And we have to remember that there's two sides to this. Certainly, I understand the plan of God and that we were chosen by the Lord even before the foundation of the world. I understand that. I don't fully comprehend it all, but I believe it because I know it's what the Bible says. But I also know there's another side of it, and that is our responsibility to respond to the goodness of God. But he has chosen us, and he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. John chapter 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And you just have to respond to the call of God. And I remember as a young person doing that and as realizing that I needed to be saved. And you may be raised in church and know a lot about the Bible, but you still need to have your own change, your own encounter with Jesus. You need to be saved yourself individually. You need to be born again. Even if you know a lot about God and a lot about the Bible, you need to meet Jesus personally in your own life. Amen. You've been chosen of the Lord. Why don't you respond to the call of God? Why don't you let the Lord do a work in you and change your life and make you and transform you from a sinner to a saint? Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Amen. Amen. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy of his mercy, his forgiveness, but he's chosen us and he's given to us an opportunity to know him from the foundation of the world. That's what it says. He's chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before him. And then he's also loved us, it says. That last part of verse number 4, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, when we think of love, we pretty much think of it on a human level. And that's not the love of God. I understand there's human level love. And in about 10 days, Marcia and I will celebrate 48 years of being married. Wow, that's a long time. But I can't, she said amen. Now, I love her, and she loves me, I'm pretty sure, I hope, I think. But I do know this much. It's not always, it does this. It's up and down. It's up and down. There are some days I know she wants to strangle me. I know there are times when human love is you know, it's inconsistent. It's fluctuating. But that's not the way it is with the love of God. It's consistent. It never changes. It's always the same. That's the love of God. Do you understand how blessed that you are today? You are loved by God, the creator of all of that is everything is. He set his heart and his affection on you. Why would we ever ignore that? Why would we ever say, that's not for me? He loves you that much, and he proved it by going to the cross, by laying his life down. He loves you. That's the love of God that's consistent always. And he has loved you according to Jeremiah. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. That's the love of God. He is drawing you. He is speaking to you. He is tugging at your heart because he loves you. And if you're a Christian today, if you've been born again, then you know the love of God. You've experienced the love of God and how wonderful it is. All these wonderful spiritual blessings. And remember, Paul's writing about this from a prison cell, telling the Ephesian church, oh, he loves you so much. He loves you. He cares about you so much. Maynard, Shonda, the Lord loves Shonda. And he loved Michael. And when they came in here the other day to the church, and we were able to spend a little time talking to them, and right here in this altar, they cried and they prayed, and Shonda cried out to the Lord. And I do know this much. God is a God of love and mercy, and he was providing an opportunity for her to know the Lord, to know about she knew about the things of the Lord, but to experience it again personally in the presence of the Lord. I it's hard for me to conceive or imagine of how much that he loves us, but he does. He does. He loves us, and his love never fails. It never fails. It never is inconsistent. It never fluctuates. He loves you, and he loves me today, and we can praise God for that. These are our spiritual blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church in the third chapter of Ephesians. He prayed for them because he knew they couldn't understand the love of God, that God would really love them. So he prayed for them, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, and he prayed for us too through the scripture that has been passed on to this generation. He prayed for us that somehow we could conceive, comprehend how much he loves us, even though we are unlovely and unworthy, yet he loves us. That's just part of the great spiritual blessings that we have because of his love that's been set upon us. Praise God. Amen. He loved us. Verse 5, having predestinated us. And again, I understand that there's a lot of theological debates over predestination. But let me just remind you that God, who knows the past, the present, and the future. Amen. He knows. I don't believe that he just chooses certain select ones. I believe in a whosoever will gospel. Amen. Whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that. I don't believe that God just says, okay, I'll save this one or I'll save that one. And that, I don't believe that as far as, but I do know that according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, that he did foreknow, he did also predestinate us to be conformed to his image. God's foreknowledge, coupled with our free will, is the way that men can come to know Jesus. Amen. And have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that he's given to us the will and the ability to choose the gospel and to choose to serve the Lord. He did all the work. All we have to do is be willing to say yes to the Lord. Amen. Obviously, we can't save ourselves, but we can come to the Lord in faith and put our trust in the Lord. He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He's adopted us through faith in Jesus Christ. We have all the rights to be called a son of God. Amen. You hear people use the phrase in the world, well, we're all God's children. Sorry, everybody is not. I understand what they're saying. They're all, you know, a human being, but to say we're all God's children is just not biblical at all. You become a child of God when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. When you call upon the Lord, then you are adopted into the family of God. Romans 8 and 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I don't know if you know this or not, but in most states, you can disinherit your children if you choose to do that. You can do that legally in most states, but you cannot disinherit an adopted child. Isn't that interesting? If you have an adopted child, that child has extra legal provisions for them. Amen. Most of you all know that our son Zach was adopted from the country of Romania. When that process was going on, Marcia spent a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks in Romania taking care of some paperwork. Then it got stalled. I went back then a couple of months later to Romania and actually spent about a month there jumping through all the hoops of the Romanian government to try to get it accomplished. One of the things that we had to do is go to the district in Romania where he was born. And I had to have a signature from what they call the prefect, who's like kind of like the county judge in a particular district. So I have Zach with me. He's a 2-year-old, almost 2 years old. And I have an interpreter with me to go into this prefect office. I go into the office, and the lady tells, I said, tell her that I need to see the prefect. And she tells him, no, he can't be seen today. And so I said, tell him I can't leave until I have his signature on these adoption papers. And so we're going back and forth. You can imagine it's like a circus with a translator. And the translator was Adi, who some know from Romania, who's kind of a timid little guy. And I kept saying, no, Adi, no. We have to see him. And he said, no, but no, they can't allow you. You can't see him today. And I kept saying, I can't leave. And so I set Zach down on the floor and let him do his work. He is running around the room. He's getting into everything. He is tearing that office all to pieces. And that lady is a nervous wreck. Finally, she gets on the phone with the prefect and says, he needs to see you. So finally, we get in to see the prefect, and I just go ahead and put Zach down again because I know that's going to work. So instead of any extended conversation, he signed the paperwork and we're out the door. The next thing that we have to do is we have to go to a records room. Now, Romania, at least at that time, they didn't have any of their records on computer. Everything was in books, if you can imagine. Rooms, huge rooms full of these volumes, big books. And she found the book where Zach's name was in the book. She found it. And his birth parents were listed there. His name was, before we changed it, it was Robert. Robert Alexandru Totsi was his surname. And we had the paperwork, and she went to the book literally with an eraser and erased the name, the last name, Totsi, and put the name Jarvis, and put Vernon and Marcia Jarvis as the parents. So now in the record books in Deva, Romania, it looks like that Zach was born to Marcia and I. There's no record of his birth parents there, never to be remembered ever again. Praise God. Amen. That's what adoption is. Amen. Your old life is gone. What you were is gone. You've got a new name. You've got a new hope. You've got a new family. You're a part of the family of God. You've been adopted into the family of God. And that's the record that's in heaven that now says you are a child of the living God. Praise the Lord. And Paul is saying these are all of our spiritual blessings. All of our spiritual blessings that we have been blessed of the Lord. We are loved by Him. We have been chosen by Him. We have been predestinated to know Him. We have been redeemed by Him. We have been adopted into the family of God. Praise God for that. And we can understand today that we are a blessed people. And for some of you in this service this morning, you don't even know what I'm talking about because you've never experienced it. You've never been born again. It's as simple as putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And you're no longer without hope or without a future. When you come to the Lord and you accept Him as your Lord and your Savior, your life can be completely turned upside down and changed. You'll have a whole new family. You'll have the people of God. You will be in this wonderful family of God and enjoy all the spiritual blessings that are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's several other things that he mentions here. I won't take the time to go into all of them, but the last one is that we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It is the earnest of our inheritance. When you receive the Holy Spirit of God, it's like the down payment on your heavenly inheritance. Praise God. Amen. The wonderful gift of the Spirit of God in your life is a down payment. It's the earnest paid on your eternal inheritance. Praise God for that, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Praise God. All these things have been made available to us. Folks, we are such a blessed people. We are so blessed to know the Lord, to have all these wonderful provisions that are ours through Jesus Christ. And we need to thank Him for that today. Would you stand with me? And let's just take a moment just to give thanks and praise to the Lord for all these wonderful spiritual blessings that are ours today. Thank you, Lord. Surely you have blessed us. Surely you love us. Surely we have been chosen by you. We have been adopted into the family of God. Oh, Lord, you have sealed us by your Holy Spirit and given us just a little taste, Lord, of heaven, Lord, here on earth, Lord, with this wonderful gift of the Spirit of God in our lives. Lord, and we thank you for it. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.